Away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall rejoice and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Father, praise you. Thank you for Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Thank you that we could meet tonight. Thank you again that we could be in prayer time and prayer meeting in the hour of prayer. Thank you again, Father, for this Independence Day weekend. And Father, for the celebrations that have gone on, for the encouragement even that we've seen. And pray, Father, now again that you'd meet with us tonight in prayer meeting. Touch each one that's here. Cause that we could hear from heaven. Touch each one that would join us by recording. And pray again, Father, that you just hear our prayers of our little church. Father, that you touch each one that's here. Thank you for Preston being here on his way home. Pray a special blessing on our prayer time now, and we'll give you all the praise. Thank you for the week we've already had. Father, for the times we've come to you in prayer. Thank you for the fasting and prayer that's been going on for our country this week. And Father, I just pray again that you'd now touch our little church and hear our prayers as we bring them to you. We thank you again that we can meet with other believers and word our prayer requests. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Flip over back to page 40. Page 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And the last verse, without the but. I guess that's how we say this. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's do her again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Well, we come with much to praise the Lord. We had a house full again for the whole week here since last Thursday, I guess. People started pouring in. I don't remember again. So we've had an exciting week. And had the righteous, praise the Lord, today we saw our grandkids all day that we hadn't seen in years. And again, we've been separate. We've been socially distanced from our grandkids, from Matt and family. And so they came out and spent the night and day at the mansion with us. Hallelujah. So we're just excited again. Then we had, I lost track of how many college kids we had out there, like 10, I think.
Yeah,
10. So, and a bunch of Rices, too. So we've just had a grand time again. And we're not worried about food, but now we've got so much food that Beverly and I are going to eat chicken and hot dogs for the next. Oh, and Rebecca's going to help us, too. She stayed on. So, praise the Lord. We just had a grand week and been otherwise occupied trying to get anything done I was supposed to do. But I had just a great time again, and we did at the races. And I hope you had a worthwhile celebration for Independence Day. Praise the Lord. Grabbers went camping to Letchworth Park. And all the college went out to. Did you make it to Letchworth, right?
Went through
Letchworth Park. One day this week, hallelujah, so praise the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Oh, wait, hey, we're already there, all right. So let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah in chapter 53. was in our reading, I think, for yesterday. If you're reading your Bible through by our schedule again, we're going through the book of Isaiah right now, and appreciate again the book. I've preached a couple messages out of Isaiah. In fact, let me read a message entitled "A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On." This is only 300 words, and so I was a little nervous about the message on Sunday, but I'm warming up to it now, okay? So the Penny Pulpit says, Isaiah 24 captures how God is going to turn the earth upside down, and in the process, quote, there is a whole lot of shaking going on, unquote. Excuse that lyric if you know where it comes from, but God says some things about the upcoming shaking, and the Christian is not to be at all shaken, even when America is. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nation, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house, Jerusalem's temple, with glory, saith the Lord of hosts, Haggai 2, 6 and 7. The prophet goes on to say, the Lord God will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathens, verse 22. America now qualifies. In one chapter, Isaiah 24 artfully covers how this earth mourneth and fadeth away, verses 1 and 2. How only a remnant of Israel is left, verses 13 through 15. The Great Tribulation, verses 16 through 20. The Battle of Armageddon, verse 21 through 22. And the Coming Kingdom Age, verse 23. The Protestant, saddled with covenant theology, can see none of this in their modernist ecumenical Bibles. So the Bible student who understands the dispensations of God should not be a, quote, reed shaken in the wind, unquote. And, quote, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, as that day of Christ is at hand, unquote, 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Be instead an unflappable witness. There is coming signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Luke 21, 25-26. Don't be shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews 12:27. Be that unflappable witness for the coming Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate again Sunday services that we had. I had a good time, praise the Lord. And we had a bunch of family in for that as well on Sunday. So let's now look at Isaiah in chapter 53. This, again, is probably the favorite of all. It is, again, a tremendous portrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. When Beverly and I went to Israel, February 2009, I made up a little track that had the entire chapter of Isaiah 53 written out in Hebrew, and we handed them out to everyone with a little cap on the back of their head that I bumped into for the next 10 days, and starting in Toronto. And I thought, man, I don't think I printed enough of these to get through. So I handed out, 200 tracks of this chapter. When the Orthodox Hebrew does their scriptures reading, they this is completely left out of their missal, as it were, or their readings. They're not allowed to read this chapter in their Bible. I was camped out in a cubicle with a Roman Catholic, and they weren't allowed to read the Old Testament, a staunch Roman Catholic, and an Orthodox, I don't know if that's the right word. What do you call a Hebrew that follows this? We call them Orthodox right now, Hebrew. And so we had some Bible studies in that cubicle. And we went through Isaiah 53. What a tremendous portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go ahead and look at it. I often say that Isaiah 53 begins in chapter 52. So let's go ahead and start our reading in Isaiah 52, and verse 13. And let's go ahead and read that whole chapter there in the last three of Isaiah 52. You follow along in your Bible as we carefully read from God's holy word. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Father, praise you and thank you that we could meet tonight again. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for its power and its clarity. Thank you for this portrayal especially. And Father, in hindsight, we can see and love every word. And Father, I'll praise you again and thank you for touching it and using it even to help us recognize all the more what you did with your only begotten Son, so that we could again stand here today redeemed and justified. We praise you, we thank you, and ask your blessing on your words tonight. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Here we have again a portrayal as none other of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Not the physical part that's recorded so aptly in Psalms chapter 22, But certainly the spiritual plane is touched here, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of all. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. And so we see here again a portrayal of what spiritually transpired on the old rugged cross as we consider these things. And as we again understand better this tremendous portrayal and God offering His only begotten Son. Let's go ahead and look at a few verses that help us. Again, I'm reading through Hebrews as well. And wow, what a tremendous picture of Him being our high priest. Not only that He died for us, but that He rose again the third day. Hold your place here and we'll come back to Isaiah chapter 53. But jump back a couple pages to Proverbs. We read the Proverbs on my birthday this year, and it's become one of my favorite. Proverbs chapter 30, we read on the 30th of June. And look at the introduction to this proverb, and notice a theme that I want to pick up here and quickly follow through several verses in Scripture. It says in Proverbs chapter 30, "The words of Agar, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Uco. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man." Verse 3 says, "I neither learned wisdom, nor have knowledge of the holy." So we don't know who this Agar is. We don't know who Jacob is. We don't know who Ithiel is. And we don't know who Ukel is. They don't show up anyplace else in your Bible. But Solomon had the consideration to give a whole chapter space again in Solomon's Proverbs here. To this, I've often thought perhaps that many of these are some of these proverbs are by pen names by Solomon himself, who took on pen names. But this one here, I think, is authentic, the words of Agar, and it's not Solomon, even with a pen name. Verse 4 says, it's got a riddle. I love this. In fact, this one's riddled with riddles, okay? And I love the first riddle. It says this: "Who shall ascend up into heaven? Or who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the winds in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" And then look at verse 5 that I think is tied directly to his riddle. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Turn over with me to John and chapter 4. I just found this morning in my reading and said, whoa, yeah, I love this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and chapter 4. I'm quite sure that's where I was. I'm sorry, John chapter 2, maybe it was. I knew I should have wrote this down. Keep going backwards. John chapter 1 at verse 50 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him," this is Nathanael, "because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." Verse 51 says, "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." John chapter 3, verse 12. "If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And so notice here we have an ascending and descending. Three times in our scriptures, we have again the importance of that. And all that ties in with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had to be God and had to be man. And the only way, again, he could die is if he took on flesh. And the only way he could pay your sin debt is if he took on flesh. And notice here again that as he did that, he is the only one that ascends up on high and descends. So the ascending and descending of God is an important theme here as we look at the salvation that was purchased for us. And so as we look at it here, notice again there's a verse in 2 Corinthians. Nope, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at that one also. Ephesians chapter 4. And so God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The Word became flesh, the Bible says in John 1. And over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, you'll notice again this same theme of this ascending and descending. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start there in verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That, or he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fit or fill all things. And so, one more, Romans chapter 10. And verses 9 and 10, we're all familiar with that. I hope we could all give a quote of that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the formal acceptance of salvation that's given here. God's already done everything. All the promises have made. He's already made his vows and laid them down. If any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And so, notice again here, in our vows, let's back up a little bit from Romans 10, 9 and 10, that we've all memorized, and look with me at verse 7. Let's back up to verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is tied part and parcel here with believing the verses that we just looked at. And as Job said, I need someone that can lay his hand on God and lay his hand on man and bring us together in Job 9. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And again, he is the one and only one that could ascend to heaven and descend from heaven. And he did do that. He is God again, brought down to earth, made flesh, and dwelt among us. And so over here in Isaiah 53, we find that there are several things that are refuted in Orthodox Christianity, especially Calvinism. And again, we can see it just displayed here so clearly. in Isaiah 53. Look at verse 6. It says, all. It begins and ends in all. Boy, it's an awful thing growing old. What's the name of my favorite evangelist? Huh? Dawson. Brother Dawson. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. Brother Dawson loved this verse. And he said this about it. He said, if you'll go in under the first all and come out under the second all, you will be born again. Okay, so look at that. Think about that as we look at this. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Notice again, that's that part of our Romans road as well, that all have sinned, all have come short. And again, a lot of people who won't get saved because they don't need that salvation. Remember when Jesus said the 90 and 9 in his illustration of going after the one lost sheep, and his explanation of that is these here don't need repentance. He was not saying that they don't need repentance. What he's saying was they got this idea that they don't need repentance. But the shepherd goes out searching for the one who is a lost sheep. And only lost people can get saved. Until they realize that they're lost, they can, maybe you could even twist their arm and get them to pray a prayer. But listen, a person's got to be lost before they can get saved. They got to recognize that all is lost and that all hope is lost. And so they got to come in under that first all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I like to add selfish into there. His own selfish way. And then look at the last all. And the Lord hath laid on him. That's that servant that's mentioned in verse 13 of the previous chapter. That's that Son of God that's mentioned in Psalm chapter 2, the only begotten Son of God. That's the Messiah that's promised in the same verse of Psalm chapter 2. And so notice here again that he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's a trifecta of sin in our lives. It is iniquity. It is evil, and it is wickedness. And so we see them tied up in the nature of man, in the depravity of man. And here, again, it's all laid on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, such a tremendous portrayal of what Christ did for us. And again, the fact that it must be so. We needed someone who could ascend to God. We needed someone who could descend to hell. And when Jesus died on the cross, his body went to the tomb, his soul went to hell, and his spirit went to God the Father. And again, that's a picture of the separation of death. If you're if you die in this world while your soul is still hooked to your body, then it all goes to hell. But when you get saved, your soul is made alive. It's made new. And it's quickened. And when we die, again, our body stays here on this earth until there's a resurrection. But our soul and our spirit are caught up immediately, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so what a portrayal of what Christ did so that we could have salvation. In my 50 years as a Christian, I have heard so many preachers walk down a pathway of preaching why it was essential that God be made flesh to take our sin debt. Why it was, again, essential that he be resurrected from the dead. And I've heard so many messages of that that I always want to be careful that I never grow callous on that. To recognize the miracle that took place. To recognize that you and I will probably never understand it completely, exactly what happened, that God became flesh and dwelt among us and died on a cross to take your sin debt and my sin debt. And he paid it all. And now we can sing, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I'm an engineer. I like things that are logical, and I can logically get them crammed into my head, and I can comprehend. I'm a systems engineer, so I like to understand the whole system. But this one chapter right here, Isaiah 53, covers stuff that's on such a high spiritual plane that you and I will wonder at it probably all through eternity, that God would save the likes of us by dying in our place. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. And Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for salvation. And as we've just glimpsed and touched the edge here of the garment again that covers your Son becoming flesh, I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to fall in love with your Son all over again and a little more intensely. And Father, that we could again just walk in this world as a witness of your saving grace. It sure needs a witness right now. And I pray that you'd help us to be that. Touch our prayer time tonight. And touch especially again these words. May they just burn in our heart. That we'd have again a joy of your salvation in our step. And the name of our Savior on our lips. Even because of the verses recorded here. In Isaiah chapter 53, we'll praise you for it in the name of Christ. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and take a few prayer requests. And be praying especially for our country. We've gone through this Independence Day celebration in the midst of chaos in the streets and a half-drained swamp in Washington. And so let's go ahead and pray especially for our president again. We're commanded several times not to be weary in well-doing. And you can probably see that our president is weary in what he's doing again. So it's been 4 years of a continual fight every day. We're looking for 4 years more. Only way that's going to happen is two things. Number one is Christians need to get out and vote. Otherwise, again, the polls will be right. I forgot his name right now, but it'll come to me later. He's going to be in there. And so let's pray again for our upcoming election, but let's pray for President Trump. You know, for him, it's a lose-lose. If he loses the election, it's going to be a loss for our country. If he wins the election, it's going to be a fight, 4 more years of horrid fight against the forces of hell. And so let's go ahead and just pray for our president like we never have before. And several of our leaders that are taking stands, pray also for several of our leaders that are backing down, that again, God would just stir in the hearts of our leaderships in America, and that we could see, I don't know what to expect. As I said, preach Sunday, I don't think we could see a revival in our nation again with the hatred that they have towards God. It's possible we could see another awakening in America, if it lasts like the one from 9/11, and we started singing "God Bless America," that lasted for what, 2 months or so, and so we really need again to recognize that God's doing some things in our country that is going to just frame right into the bringing end of the end times, and the seven seals of the Revelation start to peel back. And so praise the Lord, we'll be gone before that happens. But we sure need to be busy in the meantime again. So let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our president. And let's pray again for here our own at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Pray for our Jeannie again. How's Jeannie doing, Dave? Okay, let's pray for Jeannie again. And not taking hardly any nourishment at all. And needs our prayers and for strength and for encouragement. And so keep her in prayer. Pray for our shut-ins. I usually get around and visit. I haven't done anything this week. And so pray for Tim and Linda. Appreciate them. Pray for Grandma again. And pray for Bill and Jackie. And pray for their prayer times tonight, that God would hear their prayers as well.
All right. Let's see. I do want to mention Charlie Johnson again. I have not contacted with him, but I'll try and catch up with him this week and find out where he's been. He's loved being here for a couple times that he's visited, and so we need to keep him on our prayer list and pray for him. I was printing out, before I rushed out the door tonight, a list of all of our members. Let's be in prayer for one for another as never before, and keep each other in prayer. All right, any other prayer requests we need to mention tonight? Yes, Beverly.
Just praying for Matt. The kids got back to Ohio safe and sound. And Preston's going to be traveling tonight. Matt is traveling.
Okay, yep, pray for those that are. We have a bunch traveling all over the nation here again and appreciating God's watch, care, and blessing on them and their trips. Some of the cars that are driving around scares me, so praise the Lord.
Yeah,
all right. So it's good to have Preston here tonight. Preston, do you have any prayer requests you'd want to mention from your church or home? Or
just for my family, please.
Okay, let's pray for Preston's family. He spent the last week out here with us, and what a joy again to have all the college kids do a rendezvous, a rice rendezvous. I said that's was so much fun. I tried to encourage them to do it three times a year again, and every time we get a break, we'd rendezvous at the mansion. That'd be great. But appreciate again, Preston hanging around to the bitter end here again. And you're taking off right tonight after church and headed east on 90, I think.
So.
All right, good. Yes, Dave. Troy Baptist got tagged by what? Oh, is that right? Wow. Okay. I don't even like to call these people Black Lives Matter. I'd rather call them Black Panthers that they came out before as. Yeah. So, and where's that at, Matt? Troy? Okay, let's pray for that. Again, Black Lives Matter attack and beat up a nun and a priest also when the week before I stopped watching the news. And so, let's pray for our country again and the powers that want to overthrow it. And let's pray for that Troy Baptist Church and their testimony and witness that God would stand. Pray for Solid Rock Baptist Church. They did have a meeting with the judges last week, I think. And we haven't heard any more. Yeah, we heard from them Sunday. So that's still outstanding. And in my book on ecclesiology, I just got my draft printing. And I've been going through that. And I put a whole section on the First Amendment. And it struck me that, hey, about four of the cases are from New Jersey. Like, New Jersey has been a leading one for attacking that First Amendment and freedom of religion, freedom to assemble. And so that's not something new for them out there. The devil's got a stronghold out there in New Jersey, evidently. So pray for Solid Rock Baptist Church. They do have a court case. They're trying to send it out to the Supreme Court for a ruling. And let me go ahead and say, too, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, pray for Solid Rock and the Clarks. All right, any other prayer requests? Let's pray for Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Praise the Lord that we could be a lighthouse, that we could get our message out. I put a pen in the paper that we're available in. Go ahead and disconnect our phone feed. Are we Facebooking? Praise the Lord. So I appreciate again that we could just keep this little church in your prayers. And we'll keep on doing what we're doing. We're meeting once a week on Sunday. and once a week on Wednesday for our prayer time. And we'll keep doing that as long as we can gather a few souls here again. And let's just keep praying for this church and its testimony. Yes, Beverly. Okay, let's pray for Sharon. I keep wanting to say Petrock, and I got to say Holvain. That is a sister in Alabama, again, has been diagnosed with another cancer, and they're trying to figure out exactly what to do with that. We have several cancer patients that we are praying for. Pray for Grandma's grandson,
Keegan.
Keep him in prayer, and pray for Grandma as she prays for Keegan and the family down there, and pray for Keegan as he prays for himself and for his family as they pray for him. Praise the Lord, we've heard a testimony of their salvation. Sometimes God lets things into our lives just to get us on our knees, and so let's pray for Grandma especially and her prayer request for Keegan. Randy Andrews, again, I haven't heard a word from Randy, so keep the Andrewses in our prayer, again, fighting a brain tumor and all that's tangled up into that. All right, it's good that we gather together tonight. Praise the Lord. It's good to have two deacons here. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to ask Brother Cramner if you just lift up your voice and pray. And then Brother Johnson, if you pray, then I'll close our service in prayer. Let's be a church in prayer. Let's remember our missionaries again. They're all going through trials. I got several missionary letters here. Let me mention them. The Staleys, again, to the missionary going to Spain. Terry Thrun and family, in spite of the COVID quarantine during March through May, we never had to close our church. They're now laboring in Alabama, if you remember. Louisiana, if you remember. I don't remember, okay? But pray for them. And off the field and now serving in the States. And then the Myers family, again, praise the Lord, serving in Mexico, again, in the hard hit with COVID quarantines. Our Bibles were released from Bibles for South America. And so we want to praise the Lord for that and pray for the riches as they distribute them. And some other missionary news that we'll get that out in time. But let's pray for our missionaries as well. Brother Cramer, if you lead us on.
Okay, dear Heavenly gracious Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible study we've had tonight. We just thank you for having been accepted. Thank you so much, Lord, for the answer to that. Thank you so much, Lord, for the light of the cross for your sins. Lord, in this troubled time, Lord, now more than ever, thank God for the honor of your will, which is your one of us will. I pray, Lord, for our country. I just pray, Lord, for revival. I pray, Lord, for the heavy text about what's in Trump and the place where that plans.
Thank you.
Some of the Republican Party are starting to turn from on, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, you said before, and I just pray, Lord, that you be with them. Lord, be with this feeble body, and we just keep fighting and fighting. And Lord, they just attack us and come to it. Thank you so much, Lord. Just give us testimony. Lord, it's not a great testimony, but I just pray this to you. And thank you, Lord, that you're looking out for us Christians. It seems like he's the only one in Washington that is, and the vice president depends. So I ask you to put a protection about them, Lord. I pray for our country. I just pray, Lord, that we as a nation will come back to you, Lord. It seems impossible in our eyes, Lord, but what's impossible for man is just a speech for you. I just pray, Lord, we can turn back to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the sicknesses going around, like leukemia, cancer, and just pray, Lord, shield her of that pain. I pray, Lord, for healing in this pain. I pray, Lord, for Dale and his pain and his cancer also, Lord. And I just pray for Sharon also. And I just pray, Lord, for yourself, Lord, with hers. And I pray, Lord, just you, Randy Andrews.
Yeah.
Such a great tumor. And I pray, Lord, that you cure them of that. And I pray, Lord, that you'll seek you out in this time of turmoil.
Yeah.
Lord, I think of the bigots in the week. And I just pray, Lord, for that. And the same thing for that. I pray, Lord, for Jeremiah and his green card. I pray for Preston North, who's one of those here tonight. Just pray, Lord, keep him safe as he comes home. I pray, Lord, for the Rice clan that's going home. I just pray, Lord, just watch over them, keep them, strengthen them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that's the rural Jersey wants to happen. Where do we stop that? Or do we do so much work that we still live in a country that our rights are not 100% taken away, and the Spray War will continue to be able to worship freely, and the Spray War will go back to the rights that our fathers wanted for us, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Give us safety. We go home tonight, where all this.
Thank you, Father, for this evening. Thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures we heard right
Father, praise you and thank you that we could gather in your name tonight. Thank you for the prayers lifted to you. See our heart and hear our prayer and touch each of these requests and wait in that your name and your Son could be lifted up and glorified. Especially those that are looking for healing from you. And ask again, Father, that you'd reach down and touch with your hand. Father, that we could hear from heaven. I pray for each member of Good Samaritan Baptist Church, especially be with Grandma tonight. Surround her in your care and blessing. Hear her prayer for her family and her, as she would bring them to you. And Keegan, again, that you'd touch her grandson and intervene there. Pray that you'd be with Bill and Jackie and give them health and strength and protection again from this virus. Watch over them, and we thank you for them. Pray that you'd be with Tim and Linda and touch them and keep them safe and protected, and pray your hand upon them even during this pandemic. Pray, Father, that you'd be with our Jeannie as well, and ask again, Father, for your watch, care, and blessing, and healing, and health and strength there in the Johnson's home, and we'll praise you and thank you. Thank you for Dave and Chris being here tonight. Pray you touch them, bless them, bless their home, bless Matthew. We thank you for him as well. Pray that you'd be with Tracy and Deb, and we thank you again for their love for you and their stand with us here. Pray again that you'd encourage them and hear their prayers and touch them in a special way. Be with Zach and Holden and intervene there in their needs. Thank you again for Barb, and pray that you'd surround her tonight and your care and her prayers on a Wednesday night. Pray, Father, again that you'd be with Jody and Sheila. We thank you for them, for bringing them across our path, and pray that we could be a help and an encouragement to them and in their growth and walk with you, and we'll praise you for your hand on them tonight. We do pray for each of our missionaries. Pray again that you touch in a special way. Thank you that we've been able to financially support 15 missionaries, and pray again a special blessing on each one tonight. Pray also for Lee and Donna, encourage them as they come off of the mission field, and touch them and the lead in their lives, and we'll praise you and thank you for being encouragement to them and their need in this month. I pray again that you'd be with Jim Bianchi and be with Aaron Clippinger, and pray that you'd encourage them in Toronto. Be with Rick and Sarah there in Scotland and encourage them. Be with the Hamiltons in Moldova. And Father, encourage them and touch them during the pandemic in Europe. And Father, touch their orphanage and their printing press and their Bible Institute and their outreach into all of Europe. And we'll praise you for your hand on them. Be with the Browns in Croatia. Be again with the Kesslers, Father, as they labor in Bulgaria or Bolivia. And pray, Father, again, Bulgaria. And pray again, Father, that you'd be with Nick and Katie and hear the prayers of their dad, David, there down below here, and encourage them there and their work, and touch their homes and their children. Be with the Kesslers as they're back in the States on furlough, and bless them. Pray, Father, again that you'd be with Brother Espinio in Vietnam. Pray that you'd be with the Maticheros in Zambia, and touch them and hear their prayers tonight, and touch their parents as well and the needs that they have. Bless them richly for their labor of love there in Africa. Pray that you'd be with Manny and Maria, and encourage them as they strive to get back to Paraguay. Thank you again, Father, for Justin Cox trying to get into Venezuela, and be with him and Evelyn, his wife, and touch and encourage them. Pray, Father, again that you'd be with Michael and Carol laboring in Mexico. Thank you that we could hear from them in letter today. Praise you again and thank you, Father, for the Mullers also laboring in Mexico and for the miracles you've already done with them. And know again, these third world countries don't have respirators that they go to. They die. So many of them have died in their home with this COVID virus and that it's spread. And I just pray again that you'd especially bless the riches there in Cajamarca, Don Carla. Encourage them and give them, again, avenues to get those Bibles out, but also that you'd just give them protection and blessing in their efforts, again, to reach into South America. Father, we love you and thank you again that we could bring each of these missionaries
thank you again that we can be part of their lives and support. And pray again that you'd bless our faith promise efforts here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your great promise to hear our prayer. We ask that you'd intervene now and touch our country after the prayers that we've lifted to your throne room tonight. Father, that we could see some victories and that we could again see that your name exalted, that we could see a country that sets you aside and spurned your great love, Father, and that they'd recognize that they have a Creator, Father, that they're going to answer to you. And so I pray again that you'd open our mouths as witnesses also of your goodness. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for your touch on Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Father, for our ability to lift up your name here in Dresden and upstate New York, Yates County, and yea, throughout this whole region, that again, our love for you and our witness might be spoken of. And Father, make a difference in lives. And we'll praise you now and thank you for hearing our prayer. In the name of Christ we pray. Praise the Lord. Let's see if we can remember the chorus, at least, a little song that we sang Sunday. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted for the fight, for the cause of truth and right. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. Lord bless you for being in prayer.